Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Drive is live. You heard Clint Stoerner. There is Tyler. And some of you call it a Victory Monday, and that's fine. I know in the loop they call it a Victory Monday.
What do we call it, Ron?
But here, Ron, on, what we here call on the drive.
Will you take that hat off when you turn that up, though?
Here on the
that's
drive, we call it Mad Dog Monday.
Yeah, we do.
Mad Dog Monday. Don't shake your head, Reggie. Don't shake your head.
Hey, you know what? Y'all ought to be joining in.
Cheers, boys.
Mad Dog Monday. Here's
to a Texans
Clint
win,
had the bottom Mad Dog, by the way.
Listen.
I had Joe Mixon.
First time Tank
Tyler
Dale.
Had
first time
had
Tank
Nico.
Failed me. First time Tank Dale failed me, man.
But it wasn't bad, though.
All right.
It wasn't bad, but.
There they go. The boys are guzzling. Get on YouTube and Twitch, Sports Radio 610, if you want to watch and enjoy this Mad Dog. Stoerner, the loser this week, baby.
Absolutely.
Stoerner, oh my gosh, ooh. Ron is still going. Ron is still going.
That one right there.
He is still going. Are you about to down the whole Mad Dog?
Open them lips up and let it ride.
He did. Ron just took out about three quarters of that MD.
There it is. Little Mad Dog Monday, huh?
That was a little bit of a burn.
I'll put some hair on your chest.
I ain't used to guzzling things that burn. I don't know if that's an alcohol burn or just an old nasty, ratchety burn. But well, I'll take
you
it,
know, I didn't like the disappointing look on OG's face when we got these, because, you know, they were some complainers about our bottles.
Yeah.
And he had the audacity to throw them away. We weren't going to drink
them. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, if I were in their shoes, I would feel it's very necessary to say, Ron and Clint, here's the deal. It's disrespectful for y'all to come in here and knock this Mad Dog back and not bring us a bottle. We should make
they could have picked out it. They could have picked all of them.
Hey man, that's it, baby.
Could have picked them all out. How about that, man? How about that? The
hopefully one of many, baby. Hopefully one of many.
Who won?
I think I win. Clearly, my start. Clearly,
hey, I got it. I knocked it down in two.
I can't believe y'all knocked it down
in two and a half.
Y'all are about to be feeling a little buzzy.
Oh no!
Listen,
what's in that, man? What we gonna be all right?
I'm good. From the text line, Ron is chugging to forget about his blonde hair. No, I can't forget it. Should see how those people looked at me at church yesterday. I'm hiding it with my hat during this football game.
Yeah,
got a couple of kids that go to us on the football team go to the church. Old Darius looked at me and said, like the look on his face
when he realized, as a
10-year-old, the look on his face said, "What in the hell did you do to your dad?" I said, "Darius, stop looking that long, man. I lost the bet, man. Calm down." Calm down. He just stared. So, no, I can't forget it. It's there every time I look in the mirror. I do catch myself off guard a couple of times. But no, man, someone texted in, this is going to be a nasty show today. Might be.
We only got three hours.
We got 3 hours. Not only will you be able to hear, starting on Mondays, 5 o'clock, will you be able to hear
is
the
it
coach's
hot here?
Show. Huh? You get
is
a little
hot?
Warm. No, I'm good.
Is
man.
It hot in here?
I'm hot. I'm not. You're always
hot.
I
got
hot.
A vest on, man.
I'm good.
Ripping HEB, I see.
Hadn't hit me yet. But not only will you be able to hear D'Amico at 5 o'clock starting this week on Mondays right here as we get done.
Coach
but you can
show?
Coach the show coming up 5 o'clock, so stay tuned. We need you.
You can also hear him at 2:30.
But at 2:30, it'll be different. You'll be able to hear him in his Monday press conference. Around 2:30, you'll be able to hear his Monday press conference coming up live right here. Nowhere else should you be able to hear it live. If you do somewhere else, they're cheating. So nowhere else will you be able to hear it live right here around 2:30. So hang with us. I guess the first thing and first place I want to go is, what was that? Where did that come from? Where did that? We have talked about it all offseason, and not just us, but everybody. One of the major questions is, with this run game,
the arrow's pointed up.
Can the Texans run the football well enough? Can they do better than we've seen all offseason and what we've seen in the preseason with the ones and with Damian Pierce and all of that? By the way, Cam Akers didn't make it in there.
Ooh, inactive.
And nobody gives a damn about that after the run game we saw yesterday. Hell, Damian Pierce even was averaging 5 yards a carry when he got in there. But, fellas, what was that? Nobody. No, I'm sure there are going to be people text in and say, I knew it all the way. Nobody saw that level of dominance in the run game. And I gotta start it off right now because Joe Mixon gets the yards. He got 30 carries. Never 30 carries against the Colts. But he got 30 carries and basically a 160. And got in the end zone and did that incredulous dance. I want to try to perfect that, but I got to give a hand.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to stand up and give a hand to Laramie Tunzel, to Kenyon Green, who was out there working. Number 32, won't forget about you, Kenyon. To Juice Scruggs, to Shaq Mason, and to Titus Howard. And you know what? I'm going to throw in Cade Stover. And actually, I'm going to throw in the other tight end.
Dalton Schultz.
He got in there a couple of times.
Kid is a freaking baller.
Congratulations. Those guys were the difference in the game. Clint, you said multiple times, I just want to see one or two times a game where the running back doesn't have to negotiate a cutback or get around somebody. And that not just did you see it one or two times. I bet you 20 of the 30 carries Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce were allowed to just run into the hole and then have to figure something out.
Look,
they were dominant.
There's no secret Joe Mixon was significantly better than anything we've seen of late at the running back position. There's no question about it. He's an upgrade, and he makes the run game better. But we don't need to spend a ton of time talking. We all knew Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's been a 1,000-yard back. We've seen Joe Mixon do impressive things from the running back position in his career. And look, yesterday was great. I want to give flowers where they're due, right? I mean, he gets some, but to your point, the more impressive part of this equation, if you will, is the offensive line. I would have lost not one house note. I'd have lost 10, 15, a year's worth of house notes. I never in my wildest dreams thought that this offensive line was going to go from what we've seen them be to that kind of dominant performance against a pretty damn good front. I didn't think we would see it. It was unbelievably impressive. And I'm going to tell you, Ron, we talked about a conversation. We had a conversation after Thursday night football. Do I think the Texans are in that category and ready to be in that conversation with Chiefs and Ravens? And I said, not a chance. I got to see more. That performance by Joe Mixon and this offensive line, I'm ready to have it.
Yeah,
that is a Super Bowl caliber football team we watch play football on Sunday.
Run game, obviously. Like, there's some other parts that got to get better, but the run, like, if they can run the football like that, we talked about it, right? We talked about it walking in, and I can't wait coming up here in a little bit. And I think there's something we'll do every Monday is get your grade on a quarterback. Hopefully, it's C.J. Stroud every week. But
yeah, true.
We talked about. And how many times with this schedule can they win games where C.J. Stroud doesn't have to be, you know, over my dead body games or drag them to the – like I said, we'll get your grade on the quarterback coming up here in a bit. But, C.J. made some plays, especially on third and fourth down. But C.J. made some plays. I think he was 9 of 9. But, Clint, there's multiple players that you get to – on that offensive side of the ball before you get to C.J. Stroud, who were huge in this game. And this was, to me, this to me counts as a game against a quality opponent in which C.J. Stroud didn't have to be great to win the game, in my opinion, and you won the game and controlled it. Clint, they had the ball 40 minutes of a 60-minute game. 40 minutes.
Dominated time of possession.
40 to 20. Right, like so. I mean, they helped their defense so much. I don't know what Jonathan Taylor would have done if he had the ball 10 more minutes or if it was more even. I don't know, but man, that was it was so dominant. I've gone back and rewatched it, Clint. This is Buckner. This is some of the guys up front, Clint. They were pushing them back. They had no answer for that toss play. No answer whatsoever. It didn't matter if they were going to Laramie's side or Titus Howard's side. It was the best performance I've seen from an offensive line here in Houston in the 4+ years I've been here.
Oh, without a doubt.
Easy.
Without a doubt. I mean, look, here's the Texans just scored 29 points and won what I would say is the most difficult and the most important in division game that they're going to play this year on the road versus the best division opponent, which that's my opinion. I think Indy's going to be the best opponent, and they went into their building and they won that football game, scored 29 points. They did it with a rusty C.J. Stroud with below average pass protection, definitely below the standard the Texans set last year. Below average pass protection. Clearly, C.J. wasn't seeing things clear, you know, as clear as he did last year, and they did it on the back of a dominating run game. I thought there was a chance, Ron, because clearly I was
for one.
No. That's so much. I thought there was a chance, Ron, that we would say by week 8, run game's coming around. They got a good complimentary run game. Now we can talk Super Bowl. It happened week 1, bro. It happened from start to finish. Week 1, they ran it in the red zone. They ran it in a 4-minute offense situation. They ran it to put the knee in the turf in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. And that was as impressive a victory as the NFL had this week.
There was probably only two, and then from the run game perspective, only like two times that I can even remember, like, all right, a running back got the ball, and in the backfield, a linebacker or somebody was there that they had to kind of get away from. But, I mean, you let Joe Mixon get 4 yards of a head of steam before anybody's there for him to deal with. Woo.
Well, and we've talked about it, too. About Joe, I mean, I feel like I'm shortchanging Joe here because the offensive line was so good. But what's so impressive about Joe is, and we've talked about it multiple times, is the ability to run downhill and punish folks. Is real, and he's just a big-bodied, powerful back that can run downhill as good as anybody in the league. And then he has the ability, which we saw a couple of times, for him to get bottled up inside, and then he bounces it outside. And even if it's just a 5 or 6 yard gain, because he has the speed to get there, and then he stiff arms, and even if that guy, if that defender ends up tackling him, he ends up getting 4 or 5 yards versus getting stymied 1 yard deep in the backfield. That is I mean, a huge weapon to have. And Joe Mixon, it took him one game in a Texans uniform to prove to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, free agent sign of the offseason.
Yeah, you knew it was, to me, and I do want to get to Joe Mixon, because I know you want to get to him, because I know you probably feel a little bit, I don't want to say vindicated by your comment of the best.
I think it's probably a fair term to use.
I don't know if
given the response I got,
it may be a little early, but when I saw Damian Pierce go in, and we saw Damian Pierce in, what, 3 carries look better than he did all preseason. We saw Damian Pierce, like the 9-yard carry right off the bat, where he looked like old Damian Pierce, where he got ahead of steam and he ran through a tackle. He broke 2 tackles to get to 9 yards, but he didn't have to deal with somebody in the backfield like he did during the preseason. I said, this offensive line, hell, I think Damian got 95 yesterday. Maybe some of them cutbacks he might not have gotten, but he'd have got 95 on them toss plays. Oh, he would have had a big day yesterday.
He'd have had him a hell of a day. There's no doubt about it. It don't matter who you put back there yesterday, they would have had a hell of a day. That's why this is and should be all about the offense.
But
line.
Joe Mixon did make a big key to this. He was, so some of those cutback runs, like there were a couple of runs where I'm like, I don't know that Damian Pierce feels that. Early, a couple of cutbacks where he's moving and you see him, bam, he cuts right back towards the A gap and runs up and he's getting 5-7 yards.
Buddy's just on a different level than all of them.
We didn't even see him in the passing game.
There's a level of vision with Cam Akers that's not there with Damian Pierce. There's a level of power with Damian Pierce that's not there with Cam Akers. And Joe Mixon's got it all, right? And so, Joe Mixon, he showed yesterday how gifted he actually is. And this goes back to Ron, I feel like this might be a really good time to bring back the thought that and social media and Larry and everybody else out there, when I said it, Joe Mixon is the most talented
Larry
back.
And everybody else.
Joe Mixon is the most talented back to ever put on a Texans uniform. I don't know if he's going to have Arian Foster type numbers. I don't know if he's going to have those kind of seasons for 3 years. But when it comes to
I still think it's a bit early, but I know you were feeling good about it.
That's fine. When it comes to being gifted, when it comes to lowering the shoulder and just cleaning up shop, when it comes to, hey, the O-line's blocking well enough to get you $120, but you go get $160, Joe Mixon is the most gifted that I've seen in a Texans uniform. We'll see if he can live up from a box score standpoint and put them kind of numbers on the table. We'll see if this team's good enough to do it for 17 weeks. But that right there yesterday is exactly what I'm talking about. That is five-star level stuff.
DeMeco looked like he was in a space, and you can understand it. DeMeco looked like he was in a space of ready to have another child after that. Did you see his look? Did you see the look in his eyes when he saw his team close out the game, 3rd and 6 or whatever it was, and they hand the ball off and they run it, and he said, "That's what I'm talking about."
Yes,
it looked
indeed.
Like, look out, Miss Ryan, because he's coming.
I wanted him.
He lost. And for good reason. They close it out however you want to. Third and 11, we'll pick it up.
There ain't nothing that'll turn a defensive-minded head coach on more than your running back just running it downhill and making the defense like it. And then your quarterback takes a step back and puts a knee in it and the game's over. There's nothing more impressive. There's nothing more fulfilling than when you can do that. If you're into winning and you're not into just numbers, and I'm talking about from a quarterback perspective.
He knows as a defender, like the Colts, the look on their faces was, I cannot believe they just did this to us. They were showing the looks on their faces afterwards, like Buckner, some of those guys, Franklin. They thought, boy, if they're going to do this, they're going to put up 29 points if CJ didn't win off. No, Jack. It was the other way. And once that ball started rolling, they couldn't stop it. And we talked about it before. You can see the three in the middle. Them some nasty mother suckers.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean nasty like, you know, the kind of nasty
like
I'm used
Ron
to.
Like Ron nasty.
Yeah, not like Ron nasty, that wipe the top of your lip nasty. But, I mean, they are nasty. They want to get at it. And we saw it. We saw it. Now, we'll see. That's one game. We'll see how this thing continues. The Bears look pretty good in the run game earlier in week one, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But if they can run the football anywhere close to that, like they don't have to do that every week. If they can run the football anywhere close to where teams have to actually change up and look at it, because the Bears, after watching that, they can't defend maybe the way they were going to. They have got to probably put numbers down to Joe Mixon.
Look, the performance Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts for the Texans is a putting the NFL on notice type of win. They already know and understand and respect what C.J. Stroud and company did last year. They know that adding Diggs is going to take that to another level. What the Texans did was prove that they don't need to get on C.J. Stroud's back to win a ball game.
That looked like the Niners. Yeah.
They don't need C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick to be dealing every single drive in every single quarter to win a ball game. If those guys aren't on, or maybe if the defense is just susceptible to the run game, they can now lean heavily into that and not just be complimentary, not just be average, not just be effective, but they can be dominant and dominate a game. And as you mentioned, a time of possession, that is, for a C.J. Stroud.
40-20.
Wow. For that team that we watched last year to now be able to dominate the time of possession.
With Grover and DeForest Buckner in the middle.
Yeah, that is a put everybody else on notice that you better be a complete team if you're going to play with the Texans.
All right, coming up on this Mad Dog Monday on here on The Drive, we'll get Clint's grade on the quarterback. You can send yours in 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. How do you grade C.J. Stroud's performance yesterday? 24-32, 242, two touchdowns, no turnovers. We'll get our quarterback to grade C.J. Stroud. Coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
C.J. fakes the give. C.J. looking. C.J. guns long down the left side. Nico Collins down there, and he's got the catch inside the 15, down to the 12. Double coverage. Doesn't matter. Big play to Collins.
C.J. had him a day. Had him a nice performance. As I said before, hey, hit me up. What was your grade for C.J. Stroud? And we'll get Clint's thoughts on what he saw from C.J. Stroud here coming up in just a bit. But, Clint, C.J. Stroud, he went 22 of 34, 242 yards, ended up having two touchdown passes to his new target in Stephon Diggs, and then no turnovers in that game. I saw some people coming in on the text line. I got an A-. B plus for CJ is great. I give him an A. Someone said the third and 11th throw to Nico says it all. I'll give CJ a B minus. Someone said I'll give the turf an F. Yeah, that was. I will say the turf absolutely helped the Texans get an interception.
Yeah, they need to get that organic crap out of there.
I don't know what that was. That looks like an ACL waiting to happen.
Yep.
But Kalen did a great job catching that ball because that ball was thrown 98 miles an hour,
yeah,
which is pretty much all of Richardson's balls. Mm-hmm. But it show grabbed that tight end's foot and pulled him down. But where are you at? You kind of judge this and look at this differently than most as someone who plays the position and a self-proclaimed top five coaching quarterback in all of America.
Without a doubt.
What was your grade for CJ?
I'm going to go B as well. Not a B minus, not a B plus. I'm just going to go with a good solid B. Look, we got to start here. Like, C.J. Stroud is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We're not talking about on a rookie scale. We're not talking about on an average quarterback scale. We're talking about a guy that won Rookie of the Year. We're talking about a guy that over 18, 19, 20 games last year was one of the best quarterbacks in football. And that's the bar right now. It's no longer about being young. The bar is being one of the best in football. And as I've said many a times, the most impressive thing about C.J. Stroud is there's a real Tom Brady-like game he's got, which is the biggest compliment I could pay to a quarterback. The most cerebral part of playing the position, he appears, based on last year, to have absolutely mastered. The ability to commit to taking the boring stuff and just being right versus being flashy and creating highlight reels. He's got that mastered. And so the bar is awfully high. So I will admit that. But I got CJ Stroud.
I love that you're grading him on a scale.
Yeah,
it's
a B, Ron. It's a B. It's a CJ Stroud B.
Because this would have been an A for Davis.
Absolutely. It'd have been an A for a lot of guys. I mean, look, two touchdowns.
Alex Smith special, 24 for 32, 242, two touchdowns.
I mean, that's, what is that, 68% completion, 68% completion? I mean, that's a really good day. That is a CJ Stroud B. Look, let's just break down a couple of plays. He missed two shot throws that should have been touchdowns. One of them was a Nico Collins catch. Nico slowed down, goes up, big body catches between two.
How about the other one to Tank?
Yep, yeah. The other one to Tankdale, which was a pass breakup. Great play by the DB, but it was underthrown by 3 or 4 yards. And again, if I do that, you look at it and go, oh, Clint just missed. If CJ Stroud does it, you go, no, that's CJ Stroud don't do that. CJ Stroud doesn't miss those types of throws.
No pressure on the
to those. Yeah. So I mean, we've got to – look, we can't look at the Nico Collins catch. From Nico's perspective, tremendous. From CJ Stroud's perspective, underthrew it by 6, 7, 8 yards, right? And then the Tank Dell throw was underthrown by 3, 4, 5 yards, and it ended up being a pass breakup instead of a touchdown. So those two misses, I think if you just watch the game in totality, now I don't know exactly, I haven't seen the All 22, it hadn't dropped yet, but I don't know why this was the case. It could be multiple reasons. It could be the defense suffocating the offense, which I think is the adjustment that I called was going to happen before the season started. I think that's probably what it was. But it could also be CJ not seeing the field as well as he did most times last year. It could be Bobby Slowick wasn't in his bag like he was most of the time last year. But any way you slice it, as we grade CJ Stroud, he wasn't seeing the game and the defense as clear as he as we have grown accustomed to seeing him see.
They confused him a little bit.
Probably. Yeah, whether it was confusion or it was just, hey, guys weren't there. They were making him get through the progression. And in doing so, when your quarterback's got to get through the progression, your pass protection's got to hold up longer. So pressure's greater, right? Then we got to fast forward to the end of the first half, right? I think there's three people that are responsible for what happened at the end of the first half. First and foremost, the referees. Secondly, I think it's D'Amico Ryans. But thirdly, and C.J. Stroud spoke to this in the post game, and he took the blame himself, right? The quarterback in that situation, I don't know what conversations were being had on the field, but if you're the quarterback, there is literally an official standing right next to you, him, the majority of the time, and if there's not, you need to go find the head official and get in his face immediately and say, hey, what's the deal? Is there 15 seconds or five?
Yeah,
is
the clock running or not? They operated like it was 15 seconds. They were running a play.
Well, there was look, I understand. I'm not mad at D'Amico or CJ at them not understanding the situation. They took the clock from 5 to 15 back to 5. There was a timeout called by the Indianapolis Colts that was apparently given back to them because then that they wound the clock. But at the end of the day, if you're the quarterback, you've got to sense and have a level of awareness. It's like, hey, guys, what are we doing? How much time's on the clock?
Because he went back into the shotgun to like they're going to try to run a play.
Clearly,
it's right? Like 5 seconds.
Yeah, he should have been in the face of the ref. Is it a running clock when you blow the whistle? Is there 15 seconds or 5 seconds? And according to the answer he got, he should have immediately got his ass under the center and spiked that football. Period. That's it. There's nothing else you do, and CJ's got to manage that situation better. He was really good extending plays. He was really clutch in big moments. He was committed to the run game. He put his ego, hung his ego at the door, and committed to the run game and got the team in the right run plays, checked in and out of plays. He did a great job, but the handful of things that CJ did not do well, I think it's fair to say he should have done well. I think it's fair to say that based on the bar that he set last year, he himself would admit, I've got to be better in those moments. Third, and so for that reason, I get solid B.
Third and fourth down, 9 for 9.
Ooh.
Which
sexy.
Is a big money down.
Sexy.
And that last throw to Nico Collins was something special from both of them. All right, coming up, we'll let you hear from the head coach as you can hear that live right here. We'll bring that to you as he will speak to the media. He's had a chance to watch the film. He'll talk to us, and you coming up next right here live.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
On the draft.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's head to NRG as the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, is speaking to the media on a Monday morning. You hear it right here live on The Drive, Sports Radio 610. Here's DeMeco Ryans.
Until the 11th hour. So knowing that it's such late, so late in the game, and Nick being able to make a move to be able to get him, I think that credit goes to Nick and him being on it and dialed in and ready to go to get Joe here. And, you know, we knew we wanted to add to our running game, and adding Joe, it was the perfect fit for us.
DeMeco, with the deep balls, how correct would you feel like all that is just for the lineman assignment and technique? And are there some things that you saw that just like, hey, that's an easy fix, or do you think it's a little more involved than that?
With the deep balls, first credit to, you know, their receiver going up and making a play, tremendous catch by him. Just 50-50 ball in those instances, you want to be able to come down with it. As a defender, it didn't happen. They made a play and we didn't. The other couple deep balls where guy got behind us, that's solely up to us, right? We can't allow a receiver to get behind us, and we have to be better there.
We'll have time for a couple more.
After the punt block, they score pretty quick after that.
Yeah.
But what kind of happened on the punt block and then on the ensuing offensive possession for you guys? Nice long drive,
right,
sort of tamp things down. Is that something wanted out of that, or is it just, hey, that's how the drive turned out? that it ended up being a long possession?
With the punt block, it's something, you know, we had talked about all week, and we knew, you know, we knew they're heavy rush team, and they're coached up really well, probably one of the best, all right, punt rush units in the league. So we knew the look on the punt block. We just have to make sure we get our depth and we make sure we sit on the right person. We didn't do that, mistake on our part, and it turns into a block kick and a turnover, and they score. So we have to be much better, first and foremost, in protecting on the punt unit. If you don't protect, then you won't have anything to cover. So it starts there. And the drive after that by our offense, I think it just happened that way, that we were able to, you know, methodically drive down, you know, burn some clock and, you know, move the ball down the field.
Does that sort of settle things down when you have that long type of drive?
I don't think it was any chaos per se. It was for me, it's just, hey, they made a play. Like, you don't make that play or allow that play to become more plays, right? They make a play on their special teams unit defensively. The one thing I'm most proud of is Eric Murray making a stop on that two-point play there. That was, to me, the play of the game, for Eric to step up and make a play to not allow them to get the 2 points.
Is that one of the more underrated parts about the team is having a kicker like Kaimi that can make 50-plus yard field goals? How important is it to now be able to open up the playbook, knowing that you could go for it on fourth down or in that situation, you need to capitalize and just get a quick field goal? You can trust knowing that a guy like Kaimi can consistently make those kicks.
I trusted Kaimi last year, so it's no different. Kaimi's been a consistent kicker in his league for a long time. So, you know, nothing that he's shown yesterday is that changed my thought process on how we operate from managing the game.
Throughout history, you know, it was a narrative, right, that defensive coaches tend to be a little more conservative when it comes to, like, two-point conversion and going for it on fourth down. You appear to, thinking back to last year, you appear to be more aggressive in that aspect. What kind of fuels that? Is it analytics? Is it numbers? Like, what kind of fuels it to you going for it as often as you do on fourth downs throughout games?
Part of it, I think, for fourth downs, everybody's into that now with the analytics. For me, it's part analytics, but it's also part feel. I think for me, I have to have a feel for our team, and just in that moment, like, momentum is a real thing, and you feel it at times. And, you know, for me, I'm into the game. Like, I'm not just going strictly off of what analytics say, or you'll go for it every time if you went off of that. But everybody always wants you to go for it, but they don't have to live with those decisions. So it's just, for me, it's a heavy, heavy feel of the team and where we are at that point in the game.
Let me close with Sarge and John.
Go ahead, John. You can go first.
D'Amico, because of the success you all have had in the first 2 years, a lot of teams will try to replicate what you all have done. As far as how you all built this team, what do you think about that potential in teams trying to replicate what you all have built?
Well, Jonathan, I really don't think anything about it. It doesn't have any bearings on what we do. Like, we're just trying to win games and get as many good players as possible. I understand what you're saying about teams trying to mimic what you do, and I think that's been kind of the history of the league. Every one successful program, you know, you try to mimic it, going back to the Denver Broncos and Mike Shanahan, how he ran things, and everybody tried to emulate that. Then you go to Coach Belichick and what he did with the Patriots, and teams try to emulate that. But also think everybody has to just be themselves and run it how they want to run it.
Nico, what's the key to holding Taylor 3 yards of carry compared to what happened in the last game last year?
Really proud of our defensive line for the way they just eliminated the space up front. We set edges and we created penetration. So that allowed us to play really well versus Taylor in the run game. No, he's been a problem for us for a while. Big game on us last year. So one of the things I'm most proud of is stopping the run versus those guys. They're a tough unit to stop. And I'm very proud of our guys. Not only did they set edges, but the way our guys tackle. I feel like we tackle much better than we did in the last game of the season last year.
Thanks, Coach.
That's it. Thank you, guys.
All right, that was head coach D'Amico Ryan speaking to the media after some time, Clint. Traveling back home from Indy, watching the film, I'm sure, having conversations with the team. you kind of see where he is now when it comes to the performance yesterday. And he did bring up a couple of things. The deep balls will, you know, sure, we'll get to this week because that's probably the biggest concern coming out of the game. But he talked about a couple of the big plays, and in a two-point game, like the Eric Murray stop, the two-point play, and that was one to me the Colts got. They tried to get real cute and had something there where they were running reverse, but Eric Murray stayed home for that and made a big play. And, Clint, it was a major part of the game. But, hell, the game was a two-point game. So, I mean, if that happens, you know, obviously the Texans are doing something different towards the end and having to play it completely different.
Yeah, there were several, you know, the going for it on two-point plays, the going for it instead of kicking field goals. There was multiple times throughout the game. So hard to keep up. Well, that coach made a dumb decision. Well, did he really? Because then the coach behind him made a decision that countered it, and so you really don't know what would have came out in the wash. It just kind of set the snowball rolling downhill where everybody started making those two-point play type decisions and going for it decisions. But you're right. What I take from, he mentioned the Eric Murray play. Again, this is like with the Houston Texans right now, this is one of the things that is so refreshing about the Texans. They are so well coached, right? You're not going to, it may happen. Look, there was a blocked punt, so clearly they're not flawless. They're not perfect,
yeah.
But they are so well coached that as a fan, you watch the game and you feel really confident that you're not going to get got. You know what I mean? You're not a reverse. Whoever's responsible for the reverse and is going to stay at home and make sure it's coming his way. Now, if that guy misses a tackle, he misses a tackle. But just from an alignment and assignment perspective, this team is so well coached offensively and defensively that it's just the reputation has to be like, look, guys, you're not going to get them. You know, because you flip the script and you look at the Texans. They were able to execute the Tank Dell end around flawlessly, which was, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 yards. I don't know what it went for. But at the end of the day, now when you do that and you execute it now offensively, or I'm sorry, now defensively, the Colts can't pursue and can't flow on those outside zone plays. You mentioned that outside zone tossed play. I mean,
it killed them on that all day.
Well, you can't flow on it now because boom, you're gonna get hit with the reverse. So everybody's got to wait a second and double check and make sure Tank Dell's not coming around the backside. And so you just keep them honest, right? And when they try it, and you've got a defender in Eric Murray that's there, and he shuts it down. Now the offensive coordinator goes, well, hell, that ain't gonna work. That we can't. We might as well not do that again because hell, we lost several yards on that play. Obviously, 2-point conversion didn't matter, but it's. Like, they are just so well coached here in Houston that you just feel like more times than not, you're going to win the, is this football team coached better than the team across the field? More times than not, the Houston Texans are going to win that battle, and that's a huge plus.
Shane Steichen has a tendency of taking the ball out of his most important player's hands on important.
He does. He does. I said this last night. Like, I think Shane Steichen watches this game and goes, man, I got away from running the football downhill between the tackles way
the
too
much. The
amount
quick. Of time that he had it.
Yeah. And I understand that the game in the second half kind of got away from them. I think they ran four plays before the game was a 10-point play and it was getting late, so you had to throw it or you felt like you had to throw it at that point in time. But I think even early in the game, on first or second down, them dropping back and throwing the football – clearly, in hindsight, clearly, but at the moment was like, man, you know, I'm glad they did it because I'm a Texans fan, but as a football guy, you're looking at it and going, why would you ever get away from that downhill run game? You got a 1-2 punch that's hard to stop.
2-point conversion. And we saw late at the end where he just got bailed out because his quarterback could make a play.
Right, correct.
Right, like I thought he should have kicked the field goal to get it to 6.
But that's another reason why you don't take it out of his hand, right?
Yeah, and then you took it out of his hand to hand it to Jonathan Taylor for Jonathan Taylor to toss it to somebody on a reverse.
Right.
You know, with 2 yards to get. So, good. Yeah, happy for the Texans. But this is 2 years in a row. He did it at the end last year where he took the ball out of and threw it to Goodson, whoever the third string running back was, with the game on the line. He is. He going to try to catch you off guard is what he's going to do. All right, big 3-3 coming up next. We've got to get to the Astros. The weekend series was pretty good, but for the most concerning – part of it is Justin Verlander's performance. And it got worse than the performances prior to that. We'll discuss that. Get back to the Texans and somebody got paid. Somebody got paid big time, and Jerry finally caved in and waited till right before the season officially started. We'll get into all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.